today, let's talk a little bit about peace. Now, this will not be a comprehensive study on peace, okay? You guys know this. So if I leave out your favorite scripture on peace, or your favorite part about peace, just know that this is just one tiny, shiny facet of peace that has caught my eye. One piece of peace. Yes. And it won't leave me alone. You know, it's one of those that keeps catching me. And when that happens, when things catch my eye, I feel compelled to share them with others. Yeah. I mean, don't you do the same thing? I think it's one of the parts about being human. When you hear a song or you read a thing or you see a video and it moves you in some way, the first thing you want to do is share it with others. You want to share your laugh or the inspiration that it gave you. And with our smartphones, it's so easy, right? You see the thing, you laugh at the thing, and then you click send, and then it's there for everyone to see. You don't even have to think about it. So, peace has been on my mind. I know what you guys are laughing at. Yes, I have. Did anyone else see the video of the deer walking through the yard and there's a Phil Collins song playing and then the deer stumbles across this playground equipment and it's the drum part from the song? We have laughed about that all week. It has been so good, and I think we shared it with as many people as we possibly could. So, peace. So the part of peace that has caught my eye, it comes from Luke 10. I know, Luke 10. Again, I have been in the 10th chapter of Luke since May. It's October. I'm not mad about it, okay? But I do wonder if you guys are like, she has a whole Bible, right? I do. But this shiny thing from Luke 10, I'm going to mine every bit of gold out of it that God will let me. So I'm going to read that in a minute. It's, and I know you know what it is. It's the part, it's the mysterious part where they pass their peace. And I realized that I want that. Yeah. You know, I want that. I want to have that peace, and I want to have so much of it that I can give it to other people. But then, you know, it hits me like, well, what does that even mean? What does that look like? And I panicked because then I realized that I don't know what peace is. And I said, Lord, how am I supposed to preach about peace if I don't even know what it is? And he was like, that's a great question. And nothing else. And I would love to tell you that I was walking at the park and like a raven flew up to me with like a scroll in his claw and was like, here, my word for my people, you know, but that's not what sermon prep looks like. It's me in a notebook and a cup of coffee. And I'm saying, what do I know about knowing things? So I get tripped up on peace because I have a bad habit of thinking about earthly peace and thinking that it's the same as God's peace. And they aren't even close. Because earthly peace is weak and it's flimsy, it's anemic. And we say we have it, we have peace. We live in a peaceful nation, we say, mostly, yeah. And what we mean is there's a lack of war or conflict, but we have to maintain that peace with an expensive army, right? The military provides our peace by keeping our enemies out of our land. And what about vacation? When you go on vacation, well, where'd you go on vacation? Like, oh, well, we went to the mountains and it was heaven. The kids stayed with mom and dad, so there was no one else around. It was just peace and quiet. Or, oh, we went to the beach, but it was the off season, so there wasn't hardly anyone there. Oh, man, it was so peaceful. And what about where you live? Do you live in, like, a peaceful neighborhood, a peaceful part of the city? And why is it peaceful? Who isn't there? Who's missing from your neighborhood? Or maybe we try to get peace in our life, you know, in our own life, and we do things like yoga or meditation. And I'm not condemning those things, so don't hear that. But that peace is also fleeting. It is earthly peace. And we may have the privilege of taking a vacation or living in the suburbs and an army to protect us. And we might have time and energy to spend stretching our bodies and quieting our minds. But this peace is temporary. And it's our responsibility to maintain that. And Liz and I were talking about this, and she called it white knuckle peace. You know, because it's like we're trying to grab it as hard as we can. But God's peace isn't like our peace. And I don't really know how to define it. But I know that his peace does not mean an absence of people in our lives. Because in Luke 10, Jesus is specifically sending his disciples out to be with people. So starting at the first verse. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. So stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.'" Jesus appoints these 72 people, and his instructions are pretty specific. His first instruction is pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest. And he sends them out not to preach in the synagogues, not to preach on the streets or in the town squares. He tells them to go to the houses and to offer their peace, not their opinions. He doesn't tell them to go start fights. He doesn't say, go to every house and convert at all cost. He says, give your peace. And the common Jewish greeting at the time, and today as well, is shalom, right? They greet each other in peace. And it's one of those greetings that's also used as a goodbye, like aloha in Hawaii, or ciao in Italy. The Jews don't say, hello, how are you? Or like, hey, how's it going? And they don't ask, sup? Sup? They greet each other in peace, and they leave each other with peace. And on this trip, they aren't supposed to squander their time and energy and peace on every John Q. public that they encounter. Jesus says, greet no one on the road. And that sounds so unfriendly, right? I know if I had been in that group receiving these instructions, my hand would have shot up so fast. Like, Jesus, wait. What if they greet me first? Like, then may I greet them back? And he's like, Jamie, what did I just say about greeting? Like, wait, Jesus, what if they greet me first and I don't greet them back? Like, no, but may I wave? I'll just wave. Just like a nonverbal acknowledgement of their greeting. You know, I'll just And then my travel partner, right, because he sent him out two by two, like whoever is stuck with me, Liz, would be like, why are you like this? Stop it. And I'd be like, hey, did you hear? We can wave. We can wave back, everybody. That's not what he said. I'm basically like a golden retriever in a human body. Jesus tells them, go to a house, give it your peace. If the people there are receptive to your peace, it will rest on that house. If not, your peace will return to you. And you can move on. And isn't that such a kind way to do things? This way, the disciples don't start fights, and they aren't poking a hornet's nest. Jesus gives them a way to know who they're supposed to share the word with. And they aren't having to spin their wheels, wasting time and energy on people who aren't yet ready to hear about the kingdom of God. This peace, God's peace, right? Having it and using it, it takes the pressure off the disciples. Now, they still have work to do. They're still on the hook for obeying Jesus. But the passing of the peace, it makes it so much better. And I don't think that they had to worry about, like, well, what if we can't find anyone to accept our peace? You know, what if I can't find anyone? Because he says the harvest is plentiful. So how do we pass the peace? Like, what even is that? I don't know. Is it a feeling? Is it a presence? Is it completeness and trust? I think it's all of those things and more and extra. It's a mystery. And luckily for me, God doesn't require me to understand his peace. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he tells us that the peace of God transcends our understanding. So our earth brains, they don't know what it is. And that's okay. God's peace is a gift to us. And like all gifts, we can say, yes, thank you. Or no, thank you. And one of those responses is a much better choice than the other. So, do we want God's peace? Like, I do. I want it. I want so much of it that I, like those disciples, have it to give to others. How do we get it? How do we get this peace from God? It's a gift. We can't earn it. There's not a formula for it. But I reckon prayer is a really good first step. That's what Jesus has the disciples do. Ask the Lord of the harvest. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he writes, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Isn't that cool? Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that is a good piece of business. Paul's advice continues. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Put it into practice. Put it into practice, and the Lord God of peace will be with you. That seems like a really good start. That's a lot right there. And how do we pass it? How do we pass this peace when we get that? In the traditional churches, there's a part in the liturgy called the passing of the peace. And it's a moment of the service where people pass the peace. Yeah. They stop the service, and people turn to each other and say, peace be with you, peace be with you. And they do this before they go to the altar to take communion with each other, right? Before they share the Lord's Supper, they make sure there's peace between them. And I've also heard it put that the passing of the peace during a liturgical service is a way for a church to practice hospitality. If you can't turn and greet your fellow church members in peace, how in the world are you going to go outside the church doors and greet strangers with your peace? So let's get practical. Okay, have you ever learned another language? Or have you ever tried to learn another language? Yeah, it's hard, right? It's really difficult at first because it's almost like they have another word for everything. So you start with learning the vocabulary, yeah, and then the grammar, the sentence structures. And if you stick with it and practice it, you can read it. You know, you can read it first, and then you're speaking it, and then eventually you can converse with someone, right? That's the part. Well, some people do it so well that they can move to another country, right? And they can learn the culture. And the ultimate reward for all of that hard work is to be mistaken for or considered a native of that country. Yeah. Well, that's what I want for us. I want us to practice accepting God's peace and passing our peace to others so well that it feels just as comfortable as speaking our native language. Yeah. And get ready, because it's going to look weird. Because when you have God's peace, you are marked. And I preached last year at Pentecost about we are marked by God with the Holy Spirit. And it is attractive. People will be drawn to you. There's something really attractive about God's peace. And I'm not saying that only people, they'll just be weirdos that are attracted to you. Like, it'll be all kinds of people, right? But the weirdos will be the good stories that you remember. Yeah, I think I have a grail-shaped beacon over my head because every unstable person that comes into the library makes a beeline for me. Stop. Yeah, weirdos. And I love them. And witches. If there is like a Wiccan and they walk in, they are going to come straight to me. I'm not going to tell that story. Wait, do we have time? Yes. Okay. We have time. Okay. This lady came in a couple months ago, and of course she walked straight up to me and she said, where's the spell books? Where's the spell books? And I didn't understand. I thought she meant like spelling. I was like, you mean, I know, right? Like a dictionary? Do you need a dictionary? And she was like, no, I need a book of spells. And we don't have those books, like, only because they get stolen. Anytime we get a book on the occult or witchcraft, it gets stolen so quickly. So we stopped buying them. And I said, probably the closest thing we have is a couple of Paula Deen cookbooks. She has a chicken casserole recipe that is magic. Where's the lie? That thing is so good. you guys laughed, but she did not. She did not laugh. And I felt guilty. I'm not going to lie. I felt guilty because the only reason I antagonized her was because she asked for a spell. Like, if you had asked for anything else, I may not have gotten a smart aleck response to you. You know what I mean? So I felt bad. And I said, actually, how about we might have a book on plants, like medicinal uses for plants. Would you like to see that? And she was like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. Like, totally won her back. And that is an example of how not to pass your peace, because all I did was antagonize a wannabe witch. And just hijacked my sermon. Good job. So how do we individually pass the peace? not like that. How about we start with the people we see, right? Do you guys remember that Sesame Street song, Who Are the People in Your Neighborhood? In your neighborhood? In your neighborhood. Right? They're the people that you see each day. So get creative. Actually see people. And when you pray for this, like, trust me, God is going to highlight people to you. There was a cashier at a local grocery store. I'm always at the grocery store. And she always looked really run down, you know, really tired and run down. And God kind of highlighted her to me, like, go ask her how her day is. So I went through her line. And, you know, I was like, hey, how are you doing? And she was polite but not friendly. You know, like, she didn't care. And I mentioned, right, I'm a golden retriever. So after that, I was like, oh, you're going to talk to me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to make you laugh. And after that, every time I went to the store, if she was working, I would go through her line. Even if I had to wait in line, I'm going to go through her line and say hello, ask her, how's work? You know, like, I don't know anything else about her, but I know she works in a store, you know, start there. And after a while, she wasn't warm and fuzzy, was not that, but was polite. And she knew that I went to church because I'd buy food for whatever Sunday meeting, you know, and she would ask about it. And then she came into the library one day, and it was kind of like, oh, I know you, right? And one day she came in, and she was really upset because she had been to the doctor and had kind of some bad news. And she found me in the stacks at work, and she told me about it. And it was the most words she had ever spoken to me. And then she said, I know you go to church. Will you pray for me? And I was like, whoa, like, this was like, it took a year, right? And I said, of course, you know, let's pray right now. Like, there wasn't anyone around. I was like, let's do it right now. And she was like, what do you mean now? You know? And I said, yeah, it won't take a second. It'll be fine. And she said, okay. So I prayed a short prayer. You know, I didn't want to, nothing dramatic. It was really short. And when it was over, she said, I have never heard anyone pray like that before. It was like you were really talking to someone. And I said, well, I really was. And after that day, she became so friendly. And to this day, every time I see her at work, when she sees me at work, we laugh, we have a chat, you know, like, we have a long chat now. It's not just, how's work? Fine, thanks, bye. It's great. Now, I didn't know what I was doing at the time, right? I was just being obedient when God said, talk to her, go through her line. And then I accepted the challenge of, oh, you're going to talk to me. So, to pass the peace, we need to see people, right? And be present with them. And I'm not saying you have to give huge chunks of your time to people that you don't know, but you need to give them enough time that they feel seen. You could buy them a snack, right? Everybody likes a snack. And that way you could just be like, oh, hey, I saw this snack and I thought of you, here's a snack, and then run. Like, you don't even have to, like, spend all that much time. It's just the thought. They feel like they have been seen. They feel like they're somebody. And do you know who is largely unseen? That would be the elderly. Go be nice to an older person. It's kind of the easiest thing to do. And how do we pass our peace as a church family? Yeah, absolutely. I think we're getting some really good practice with the community table, right? Who are the people in our neighborhood? Well, I don't know. Let's invite them. And you and I, we cannot fix their problems. Those problems are bigger than us. But we can see them and listen to them and give them some food. And we can brag about how awesome Jesus is. And we can pass our peace to them and let God do his work. You know, the funny thing at the community table, anytime I talk to someone, one of the guests, they always mention Jesus before I do. They are always like, oh, Jesus is great. I'm like, well, I'm so, but I, You know, it's like a peace passing switcheroo, you know? But I'll take it, you know? So, I think that's about it, right? To sum up, our earthly peace is weak sauce, and we have to create it. And it usually means leaving someone out. It's temporary, and we have to spend our time and energy maintaining it, sustaining it. But God's peace is a gift available to us through Jesus, our Savior. And if we choose it, God will maintain it. So let's keep choosing his peace, and let's practice passing the peace so that we get really good at it and it becomes our native language. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we love your peace, and you give it to us so freely, and we thank you. And Jesus, your sacrifice on the cross has given us more than our salvation. Thank you. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your peace. And Holy Spirit, you come to us all the time, and you help us. Thank you. Help us choose peace daily, and help us pass the peace every time. And help us with our obedience. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God, and we trust you, God. Amen. Amen. All right. Going to have the worship team come back up. And I was wondering if you guys would want to pass the peas. Everyone's like, no. Now, in front of everyone? Yes.